everyone. I'm Catherine. Welcome to Trailhead Church, and thank you for spending part of your weekend with us. In just a few minutes, the band will be out to lead us in worship. Then one of our pastors will share a message. Altogether, we'll be together a little over an hour this morning. If you're new this morning, we're honored that you've chosen to join us, and we'd love to get to know you. The easiest way to get connected is to complete our online connected card. It only takes a minute, and it's the best way to become part of the Trailhead community. Just visit trailhead.church/connect or text the word connect to 833-209-7295. If you're with us in person, stop by our info desk and meet one of our friendly greeters and receive a gift on your way out. Just a couple of quick reminders before we get started. If you have chosen to keep your kiddos in service with you today and you'd like a more private space to comfort or nurse your child, we have calming spaces available where you can continue to watch the service. Just ask one of our volunteers to show you the way. If you want to stay up to date on everything happening around Trailhead, you're going to want to download the Trailhead Church app. You'll be able to find message notes for today's sermon, see all our upcoming events, communicate with your study group, and catch up on messages you may have missed. You can even sign up to receive specific notifications based on your interests. Just search for Trailhead Church in your app store. Thanks again for being with us this weekend. Grab a seat and let's get ready for worship.
Good morning. Welcome out to Trailhead Church. Let's stand to our feet. Man, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Wow. We're tired this morning, aren't we? Come on. Hey, it's a good day to be in the house of the Lord. We're just going to worship Jesus together. We've come just to seek his face. Come on, let's just begin to open up with some prayer. Father, we thank you. Let's just lift our hands in a sign of surrender. Father, we thank you. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we give you the room. Yeah, we give you our hearts. Come on, just begin to put thanksgiving on your lips. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Yeah, so holy, Father. Yeah, so holy, Lord. Come on, begin to put praise on your lips.
Oh.
worthy, church. Yeah, we thank you, Father. Lord, we bless you, Jesus. Yeah, we bless you, Jesus.
For eternity, join the song there. God's so good, right? Forever, forever. You know, a lot of times we have this notion, we come in here on a Sunday morning and we get like hard bent on my problems. You got problems. We all got problems. Yet the Word of God tells us that we have no problems. It's like, yeah, it doesn't deny the fact that they're there, but the Word of God tells us the victory that we have. And so when we come in here on this in the morning time or anytime we come in here to worship God, we should always come from a posture of victory, of knowing that the victory has been won, and we have what God has told us that we have. He does what He says He'll do. His promises, His love, His understanding is above our understanding. All of these words, I can preach till I'm blue in my face, but it's going to take a moment for you to believe it. It's going to take a moment for you to passionately understand the passion that He has for you, that when you come into this house, that you have the victory, and you're not going to be looking around going, the oh me's, the oh my's, the oh's. It's knowing right now, this is the victory. So my encouragement for everyone in this house right now is, let's raise our hands in victory right now. Let's worship Him all across this room this morning. Lord, You are worthy. Lord, You are worthy. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we have the victory over life and death. God, that we have victory over sickness. God, we thank You right now. Lord, we have victory over drama. Lord, we have victory over anything, any obstacle in our life right now. God, we thank You right now, Lord, that our marriages are victorious. Lord, we thank You right now, Lord, that our children are victorious. God, we thank You right now that our workplaces are victorious. God, we declare that every obstacle, Lord, that comes in our way, Lord, that we know that You are demolishing it in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak to those mountains. Lord, we cast them into the sea. God, I thank You right now, Lord, that we stand on faith and not on fear. God, I thank You right now, Lord, that we have the victory, and Lord, that we know You are in this place. So God, we thank You for it. God, we thank You that You have called us to such a time as this, Lord, to stand firm on a foundation set on Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank You for that victory. Lord, we call it done. Lord, we worship You, and in this house we give a shout of praise. Hallelujah! Love on your neighbor. Tell them they look good this morning. Give them a high five, a hug, a fist bump. Greet your neighbor. Come on. Show yourself friendly. Love it. I love it. God's so good. He is. He is. I love that all of you guys are in the house this morning at 9 a.m. You guys were like, it was easy to come this morning, right? It was easy. It was easy. I was out in Tulsa, Oklahoma the past few days, so unfortunately, they are an hour in front of us, or sorry, behind us. I did not get to enjoy what you got to enjoy this morning. I was already used to it. I had woken up at 3 a.m. to fly out there on Thursday, so I didn't get to relish in that extra hour you had today. So boo on all of you, right? Boo on all of you. It's okay, though. I am here. I'm awake. I'm ready to go. Hey, it's offering time. There's a lot of different ways you can give. You know, obviously, you can follow the promptings behind me. There's the electronic way, which is safe and secure. And then also, we have these wonderful new offering boxes on the wall. I love that if you see the graphic, you just see this square and you're like, what's that? A box. But they're on the wall, okay? So we got all the boxes at all the exits. So as you exit today, you can grab an offering envelope and fill it out and drop it off in that box as you leave. So, you know, with offering, we are so blessed, you know, as each one of us has been told by God in what to give. You know what's funny? We have a jar. Some of you don't know this, but we have a jar in Dave's office. It's a small little jar. It doesn't happen too often. But in Dave's office, there's a jar full of money. And you guys are like, what's that? Petty cash? Nope, it's not petty cash. You're like, what's that? It's like Dave's own little collection. You could call it that. Now, a lot of you aren't familiar with this anymore because not too many of us carry change. But in Dave's office, there's a jar full of money. And it cannot be used because it does not have the United States written on that coin. It's all the coins from all around the world. For some reason, I don't know if you know the distinction between that Queen Elizabeth coin from Canada to that George Washington coin that we have here in America. So we have a collection of all of these world coins all over the place. But you know, we can't spend it here. It's no good. We can't even do anything with it. So we just collect them. They're just fun. But you know, if you put that coin in the right hand, it can be spent in the right place. A lot of times, we hold on to our coins, we hold on to our seed, and we collect it and we say it's ours. You know what God says? God says, hey, if you do what's right, if you trust me in every area of your life, man, it's going to be in the right hands. You know, it's important that we as Christians know what the Word of God says about our finances, that we trust in Him. And when we do, we put that offering, that tithe into the right hands, the hands of God. And we say, God, you can do far and abundantly more than what I can do with it. And you put it in the right place. Because in the right hands, in the right location, it can do mighty things. So, you know, I pray that this is where you call home. If you're visiting today, we're so blessed to have you. There is zero obligation for anyone in this house today to give outside of the fact that God has mandated it so. But if you're visiting today and you don't call this home, hey, you're good to go. But for you that call this home and that place called there, that place where you get fed, then this is that fertile soil. And so as you give today, what God has ushered you to give, don't give too much. Some people give out of compulsion. They give this idea of like, man, I've sinned a lot this week. And you think, I've got to give more. And that's an imbalance to what God says. You cannot be saved by works, all right? It doesn't matter about how much money you give in the sense of pittance. That's not how that works. God has given to you a good measure. And in that good measure is a good steward of what to do with it, to know what God's word says. So if this is what you call home, I encourage you to give and break free from the devil's grasp on your finances. Break free from the grasp that you have on it to say, you know what? God is so good to me. There is no better place than to put it in the right place and in the right fertile soil. And when you do, you will see the outcome that far surpasses what you thought was possible. When we think about what God's done and what He does, His understanding, because think about this. Talk about the virgin birth. It's crazy. I mean, that's out of nowhere unique in itself. You talk about a giant boat with Noah. I mean, that was unheard of. You talk about moments where Gideon has an army of 300 billion thousand people and God says that's too big, narrows it down to 300. The way God does things, it's not the way you do things. So when you begin to trust in Him, man, things begin to settle. Things begin to be a little bit better of perspective to see God's way. So I'm going to pray. We're going to receive the offering. Then we're going to get right into some video announcements, right into my message today, which I'm really pumped about. So here we go. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, God, that we have the opportunity, the freedom, and the privilege to give. God, I thank you right now, Lord, as we pray over this offering, Lord, that you said it in the Old Testament that those sacrificial offerings, Lord, were a sweet aroma. So Lord, we pray this morning that today, Lord, that this sacrifice, this moment of worship and praise, God, that it is a sweet aroma to you. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that it is pleasing. Lord, I thank you that in this house, every need is being met from the small to the tall. God, I thank you, Lord, for all of our outreaches, all of our ministries within the church, Lord, our youth ministry, our kids ministry. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord, for the vision of this house to continue to flood this area, Lord, to see the transformational power that takes place in individuals' lives, Lord, for them to come to know who they are in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for this, Lord. We praise you, we honor you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. And we all said, amen.
Hi, Hi everyone, I'm Catherine. Here are some of the things coming up around Trailhead Church. Remember to download our app to make sure you don't miss the rest of the events happening at Trailhead. We're excited to celebrate this season of giving with our 14th annual Thanksgiving Basket Outreach. Our Bridge Outreach Ministry is expanding our reach, and this year our goal is to donate Thanksgiving dinners to 150 families in need. Help us share the love of Jesus by signing up to donate a basket or make a general.
The announcements well enough to finish them. But Thanksgiving. Unfortunately, we're having a lot of technical issues this morning. And as Pastor Katie mentioned in our brief meeting this morning, everyone is out. Katie and I are the only ones in charge today. So everyone was out of town doing something that knows how to do electronic stuff. But Thanksgiving baskets, is Catherine in the house? I'll just give Catherine the microphone. She's memorized it. Maybe she knows. But Thanksgiving baskets are really, really important here at Trailhead. We have a goal of 150 baskets this year, and so we want everyone to participate. So you can obviously, as you exit, go to the information little booth there in the corner, in the middle, and then grab one of those Thanksgiving basket lists and bring all of that into this house, because we want to take it out of this house and bridge to the community. So make sure that happens, okay? As far as any other important information, we're good to go. Sweet. All right, guys, I am so blessed to start this message here this morning titled Turn Down the Drama. You know, it's Thanksgiving time, so it's really easy to talk about drama. We all got drama at some point in our life, and that's not really what I'm not trying to preach a message where we're able to just eliminate drama. There will always be drama going on in our lives, but this is a choice for us to learn how to turn it down, that it doesn't affect us, that we aren't walking around so affected by drama. So, you know, it's really the irony of it is my brother is in town, and I have a brother. Some of you have heard me talk about my brother and how I love him. He's a different breed than I am. What I love is that he is in town and he is coming to the next service. So I was going to use him as my key point in my message, because that's my drama. No, I'm kidding. But he is literally coming, which I was like, oh my gosh, my brother's coming. So if you see a guy who looks nothing like me, just say, hey, Jeremy. But that's what it is. So I am so pumped that he's here today. But drama happens. Drama happens around this time and season when we get all of the family members together. We all have unique family members. I've got family members that watch Trailhead online, and I'm so thankful for my cousin Sam and my cousin Joey and all those guys that watch, and so they know how overwhelming it is. At my mom's funeral, I got up and I talked about how my mom, she was the prayer warrior of the family, and so everyone was going to have to find a new prayer warrior to start calling, and then I told them not to call my wife. Because you guys got too much drama. I said that during the funeral. I said, I got cousins. They're lukewarm cousins. I got hot cousins. I got cold cousins. And what was funny was it's no joke. The hot, on fire for God cousins, like, they didn't have a problem with that statement. They were just like, yeah, you know, okay. And then my cold cousins, you know, they were like, woo, yeah, cold. Like, they were fine with it. Like, my cold cousin, like, yeah. Yeah, God don't love me. That literally was their approach. But you know, it's funny because when you read Revelation and you hear about the lukewarm, you know, my lukewarm cousins were the ones that did not like me saying it. They were the ones, right? And like, that's why, you know, that whole message in Revelation of like, I'd rather you be hot or cold rather than lukewarm. That lukewarm drama. It's that drama. And boy, there's a nice moment of drama. I want us this morning to recognize, are we causing the drama? Are we the drama causers? Or are we the ones that are the peacemakers? Are we putting on the whole armor of God? Are we putting on those shoes? Are we walking in peace? These are questions we have to ask ourselves daily. We need to be doing that. This is what's going to set us apart. Now, you know, I know when things get busy, you can get overwhelmed, and a lot of times you can forget that God's in charge. And in those moments of hectic drama within your workplaces, within family, you just start believing that, you know, I need to take control. And this is that I got to let go of what's happening and give it to God. Too often we have a mind dump that takes place where we're just, man, we're overwhelmed. We've let it cycle through our thoughts so much that now you're just confused on what's the right thing to do. What's the next best step that needs to take place? So this brings me to the Word of God, as it should for all of us. And it brings me to a great story found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is King Jehoshaphat. King Jehoshaphat was a unique king, but I love these stories. If you know me, I love Proverbs chapter 16. I love 1 and 2 Kings, and I love the book of James. And so you'll see that I always go to these. But Chronicles is right up there because you still get all these good stories that you think that we would know better. As I ministered this past weekend at a men's conference out west, I started off by talking about the uniqueness of decisions that need to be made and how important those decisions are. You know, it's funny because out of 384 years documented in 1 and 2 Kings, there's 42 kings and only 6 of them did what was right in the Lord's eyes. Only 6. How many of us in this room, this is rhetorical, do not raise your hand. How many of us are doing right in the eyes of the Lord? Some of you are like, I don't know, I'm going to be humble, you know, a little bit. It's hard. It's a hard thing for many of us in this room. But yet, we have all of these examples to follow to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord. We have so many examples in the Word of God. And it's funny because you would think that we would just know what to do. In moments of chaoticness, in the moments of hurt and pain, in the moments of good, it's like everyone, we should have a real notion of what to do. But yet, when things happen, when drama smacks us in the face, we just look dumbstruck and go, I don't know what to do. But yet, 42 kings, and we have these examples. 42 kings. How many of us have bad friends? Don't raise your hand again. Please don't raise your hand. I got some bad friends, you know. I got some friends who you probably shouldn't hang out with. How many of us grew up in a youth group that our youth pastor always tell us over and over again, man, you got to get rid of those bad friends. Yet we still did what? Hang out with those bad friends. Some of us, we dated the wrong person. Only one time in the history of dating girls did my dad look at me and go, mm-mm. There was one girl I brought home. My dad go, mm-mm. And I remember, I'm like, this one? Out of all the other ones that I dated, this one's the one? Mm-mm. He just looked at me. She walked in, I introduced, and then somehow she walked away, and my dad just looked, mm-mm. I was like, none of the other ones were good either, Dad. Where were you at on those? You know, it's funny because we know what we should do, but yet there's these decisions we make that aren't really the greatest. And then those decisions lead down a path of more drama. But yet, I will preach myself blue this morning, as I've already mentioned. I'm going to preach myself to the point of saying, guys, you know what you need to do. You need to go to the Word of God. This is how you turn down the drama. But this is really going to be a moment for you to say, I'm going to turn down the drama. I'm going to make this distinction. I'm going to renew my mind daily. I'm going to seek after the face of God and everywhere I go. I want to be in His presence. I won't relent until I'm in the presence of God. You have to make these decisions. These decisions are important. And I've made some dumb decisions, and guess what? I got into drama. You get into all of this drama pretty fast. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see this wonderful story of King Jehoshaphat and how God comes in and delivers him. Now, what's great is that there's some wonderful scriptures that come from this. I'm going to read just a couple just so that you may be more familiar with the story than what you think you are. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 8 through 9, it says, "Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored." And here we go. This is what you may know. "We can cry out to you, to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And what a beautiful scripture. Then you see in 2 Chronicles 20:20, early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." These are great scriptures that we've heard from this particular story. Another one, 2 Chronicles 20:21. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sing: "Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever." I mean, these are wonderful scriptures, but they're also key moments for each one of us in this room of how to deal with drama. So let me give you a brief scenario or synopsis of what chapter 20 is about. So here, King Jehoshaphat, he is the king of Judah, the king of Jerusalem, or sorry, the king of Israel. King Ahab had just passed away. So the king of Judah, he thought, okay, I had this ally and he passes. And then out of nowhere, he gets word that there are three other kingdoms that want to come against him. And they're actually on the way. He's overwhelmed. He doesn't know really how to handle this. He's thinking, I didn't think this was going to happen. What's going to happen now? My goodness. And so what does he go and do? He goes to the temple, because as I read earlier, he knew that if he goes to the temple, that he presents all these things and honors God, then guess what? He will save us. He will hear us. He will rescue us. So he goes to God first. As he's there, he gets word that God is going to take care of it. And he says, you won't even have to fight. You will not even have to fight your battles. Man, what a wonderful thing to hear, to think, I don't even have to fight. No one's going to die. No one's going to be, I don't have to worry about this. So King Jehoshaphat, he feels so overwhelmed with joy and peace. And he just knows God is going to rescue us. So as they're walking, he gets that notion of stopping, and he stops. This is key, guys. It's key. Too often we just keep moving. Jehoshaphat stops, and he says, no, let me address everybody. Let me get everybody in alignment. How many of us have families? I have four children. Often we have a Gresham couch moment. We call everyone down, and I get everybody in alignment. They're a little disruptive. They've been mean to mom that day. Right? I come home, she looks at me and she goes, do something about it. So I call everybody down the couch and I go, you will not treat your mother this way. And you always, you know, right? There's the one kid who goes, I didn't do anything. But you will. Right? You bring everybody into alignment. And that's what King Jehoshaphat does. He sits there and he says, he stops everyone. And this is where, as you see it in 2020, early the next morning, the army of Judea went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. I love it that it's actually 2020 vision. He stops and he says, listen. He gets everyone in alignment. Listen. If you're not in this, it's going to be hard to be victorious. If you're not believing that God is the victor, if you don't believe that God can handle it, we're going to have some problems. And he says, hey, everybody get in the line. And then I love the fact that in verse 21, after consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. And this is what they sing: give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. Guys, when you are in a peaceful mentality, and when your spirit man is in alignment with God, you can sing. You can sing. I've seen some sourpuss faces. Have you ever seen those? They're just sitting there, just mean. They're not going to sing. You can't sing like this. Holy, holy. You can't sing like that. That doesn't work. Right? You got to get joy. You got to know that you have the victory, that you have it. Man, when you are happy, you can sing. I've been to weddings. Man, at a wedding, people know how to dance. We've forgotten how to dance at church sometimes. We've been told that, oh, that's wrong to dance in church. And I go, is it? Is it wrong to dance and sing in church and be have the victorious notion? Man, I'm just believing God right now. I'm going to march this thing out. So many people get caught up in denominational thinking, and you're like, man, oh, I've got to be stoic. Got to be quiet. We need to be in harmony. Like, I'm pretty sure that's not possible. I've heard some of you sing. It's not about that. It's not about that at all. But you need to learn the victorious joy that you have, that you are able to sing. He appoints singers. Hey, guys, I'm going to get these singers out. They're going to go ahead of us. We're going to shout. We're going to know that God's in control, that we're going to believe with no problem. God's got this. Boy, that's joy. That's true peace. We need to recognize that we have it. You know, when I read this story and I think about how God just delivered, he delivered King Jehoshaphat, I think, man, how wonderful that is. So for me, for you, you need to wake up. We need to wake up and we need to go, you know what? God did it for them. He can do it for us. He has no respecters of person. He has no favorites. Elijah was a man just like us. He put his pants on just like us. There's no different. It's really just a matter of obedience. That's what set Elijah different, is obedience. Making good decisions is obedience. It's obedience to God's word. To say, I'm going to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. I'm going to choose this day to be passionate followers of his passionate love for me. And even though the world may throw something at me, I'm not going to allow that to dictate what God is doing for me. I'm not going to allow those things to hinder me from what God's got for me. God's got the victory. We think, man, there's so much drama and there's so much heartache and I don't know how to handle this. Guys, I've been there, so don't think that I'm preaching from a position of it's easier said than done. No, I've been there. And when you give God the glory, when you go to him, then it changes the atmosphere. When you align yourself with his word, it changes your trajectory. When you begin to praise him from a position of joy, a position of surrender, then things begin to start shifting and shaping around you. God starts making the difference in your life, in that drama. You're going to see people break off some of the nastiness off of their lives, and you're going to go, that was not what I expected them, how they were going to act. But God must have came in and intervened. God came in and brought in the victory for peace. God's a restorer. God's a healer. We hear it all the time, but it's a choice that you need to believe. This is the determining moment of saying, I stand on God's word and I believe it. I'm a doer of his word. Now, as I brought out earlier, Jehoshaphat knew that if he went to the temple, this is what's beautiful about Old Covenant, New Covenant. Now remember, the Old Testament is always pointing to the New Testament, and the New Testament is always confirming the Old Testament. So you see some types and shadows. You see some wonderful moments where you see that there's Christ in the Old Testament, and the New Covenant's about to come. They're prophesying, and they're giving you this beautiful picture of what it's about to be. God knew that the temple wasn't the answer. He knew it. That could not be always the place. It wasn't, even Solomon knew this. Solomon even took part in saying these words that even though we build this beautiful temple, it cannot hold the glory of God. It cannot contain the fullness of God. And this is what's beautiful about it. This is the 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Our lives. Everything we do, our decisions that we make, those are spiritual sacrifices. We guys are being built into a spiritual temple. Isn't it wonderful? You don't have to show up here on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for God to be able to hear you. You don't have to stand in this temple. This is just a gathering place for us to sharpen one another, for us to come in and just give God the glory, for us to be here for one another, to present those offerings to our Father, and to say, God, here we are. Man, one mind and one accord. We are doing a victorious vision in this county, in this state. We are doing it. This is the church isn't built in a position where this is only where God is. When Jesus died, Peter was like, no, Jesus, I don't want to hear what you have to say. No, I'm not going to let them take you. And Jesus rebuked him and said, hey, this has got to happen. When this happens, it'll be far greater that I leave you, because the Holy Spirit will now dwell inside of you. You are those spiritual temples. You have the moment. You have the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and we are the stones for a spiritual temple being built so that, why? We can come to the Father in His presence all the time, 24/7, 365. This is something we need to have such a wonderful, beautiful passion for, to go, man, God, I'm so thankful. Lord, wherever I am, I can speak to you, and there you are. And you will do what you said you'll do. You'll rescue us. The old covenant didn't change with the new covenant that God would then be like, well, sometimes I'll hear you. Sometimes I'll rescue you. Sometimes I'll be there for you. No. That didn't change. God's promise still remains the same, that I am here for you. I will rescue you. I hear what you're saying. I'll be in the midst of all of you. I will take care of you. So none of that changed. Man. But here's what's happened. It's the same thing that happened with Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 32 through 33. Says, Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the ways of his father Asa. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed. He had a bad decision here. He failed to remove all the pagan shrines. And the people never fully committed themselves to follow the God of their ancestors. So that's what's the problem with us. We have this one foot in, one foot out. I love God. I got my WWJD bracelet. I got my cross necklace. I even have a cross tattoo. I played soccer with a guy from Canada. He had a big cross on his arm. And I was so excited because I thought I was the only Christian. It was like four Americans on the whole team. His name was Lee Kettle. I was in a hotel room with him one night. We were traveling. He took off his shirt, and I saw that cross on his arm, and I was like, dude, you're a Christian. I didn't know you're a Christian. He goes, I'm not a Christian. I go, what do you mean? I said, what's the cross on your arm? He goes, it just means strength. Pretty sure someone lied to you. It means strength? I mean, sure, it means strength. It means a whole lot more than that, though. It's like, it means strength. Like you got like a Chinese tattoo. It means wisdom. No, it means tuna. It's like, dude, where are you at? Funny to me, because people will have that one foot in. I'm a Christian. I love following Jesus. But you have one foot that's just dragging behind. And you look lame. You look like you're hurt. You're injured. You got drama going on. All this drama. You know, and you're constantly talking about it. I hear Jehoshaphat. I read the word. That's what I'm saying. It's so funny. You have 42 kings. 384 years of kings, and only six. It's odd to me. We have people in front of us. We see all of these things that are happening. What to do, what not to do. We know the famous saying, history repeats itself. And you think, man, I'm going to do what's right. I mean, Joshua chapter 4, verse 9, they cross over this water and they're going into the promised land and they're going to set some stones up, 12 stones, right? They place this nice altar and they go, this will be a memory of what God's done for us, where we've been and where we're going. Some of us, you need to start stacking some stones. You need to declare in your life, over your family's life, this is what God's done for us, this is what God's doing for us, and this is what God's going to do for us. Like, I know where I stand with him because I know what he's capable of doing, what he wants to do. I am a sacrifice, a living sacrifice for the kingdom of God. I'm going to burn it all the things, all of the nonsense in my life. I'm going to get it out. That's what's so sad. You read about Jehoshaphat. I mean, he just had a miracle take place. A miracle. He shows up to the camp of these three ginormous armies, and they've all destroyed themselves. And they walk down to find everyone dead. And then they get all of this plunder. They go down there and they just get all of this stuff. To think that God wasn't involved in this, that's nuts. God delivered them from these armies. And yet he comes back home and he still didn't fully commit. He failed to remove those pagan shrines. It's interesting. What are we holding on to in our lives? I guarantee you, whatever you're holding on to, that's your point of drama. Whatever you won't let go, that's your point of drama. You need to be drama free. Churches, Christians, we need to be drama free. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Being fully experienced in salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had to taste a taste of the Lord's kindness. You should be craving the presence of God. It is far better than the drama that somehow we continue to go back to. The muck, the deceit, the jealousy. We're feeding some of this too, and we need to be aware of some of the things that we allow to go in. You need to be bold when you're hearing at work and you hear gossip, you hear deceit, you hear jealousy. Just walk away. It's a waste of your time. Walk away from it. Don't be a part of it. It's not worth it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Why would you tell God to move over for jealousy and deceit? Hey, God, go in the back corner right now, God. Right now, like, you feed on deceit. You feed on jealousy. You got to let go of those things. What's inside of here is going to come out of there. It spews out. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. I love what Psalm says. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. How can a young person stay pure? It's a simple ask. David says, how can a young person stay pure? How? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. I have recited aloud all the regulations you have given us. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. What was David attributed to? a man after his own heart. It's a man after God's own heart. And you heard why. This is why. Everyone always wants to blemish David. They're like, yeah, but then there was that Bathsheba moment. I'm like, oh, please, let me call out your guy's stuff. Ethan. I'm not going to do that. I don't know Ethan's junk. But isn't that sad? We just want to start calling out people's stuff. Dan, I know you. I know how you really are, Dan. He made a mistake. Guess what? He did everything he could to make up for it. In the sense of making things right, repenting, and doing what was right. But besides that, David gives us all that we need to know about having a heart after God. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I praise you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Teach me in the ways you should go. Show me the path that I need to take. I have hidden your word in my heart. Hidden it. You've placed it here deep. Those moments you should hear God's word speak up, in those moments of heartache and those moments of hardship, you should be able to say, I know what God's word says. I know who I am. I know that he is for me. I am victorious. Drama just bounces. I don't care about drama. Drama's ridiculous. People can say all kinds of stuff. Man, I've been there. Many times, you need to hear that still small voice when God says, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Just stay silent. Years ago, I had some men that were really mean to me. And it was mean. It was mean. They said hurtful things. They actually had actions that weren't very nice. And I remember going to two of my pastor friends. I stayed with them for a few days And I said, man, you know what angers me more than anything is that I didn't have anything to say. That I didn't just cut them. Well, yeah, you stink too. Like, you know, like I wanted to go at them as much as they went at me. Like, let's equally bring this pain, you know? And I just sat there and I just took it. And finally, one of my friends, Alan, is his name, he said to me, he goes, isn't that awesome though? That you didn't say anything? I go, no, I wanted to hurt him. He said, no, but think about this. They went home, they went to their spouses, and they began to tell the story of what took place to their spouses. They went back home and they said, you know, I sat down and I told him what for, and I did this and I did that. And then their spouses say, what did he say? Nothing. Like nothing? Like nothing. He said nothing. He just looked at me. What's so wonderful about that is they had nothing to play with. They had nowhere to go after the fact. I guarantee you one of the spouses had to at least look at the one and go and look at him and go, you said what to him though? That was pretty harsh. And he said nothing. He said nothing. So I got joy in that moment to realize, praise God, he kept my mouth shut. Like God did it. God just said, nope, you don't need to say anything. Here I was living in this regret of this, as if I wish I would have, as if I would have got down as low as they were. But instead, I got to a different perspective. And I began to see the hurt that was in their lives, because hurt people hurt people. But one of the things that we like to say around this house is forgiven people forgive people. We are forgiven. We know that we're forgiven. We know what God can do in a transformed life. What God can do to someone who needs to be restored. We are going to see people from the cross. And we're able to recognize where they are and to go, man, let me tell you about Jesus. Yeah, I see some of that dirt. I see some of the evil that you just continue to carry around. Let me show you the goodness of God. Let me give you the embrace that he's embraced me with. I hope that you didn't just hear what I said and thought, oh, I need to go to my brother and tell them, Miguel, you got to stop being this way. you got to do this. You need to stop doing that. I hope you didn't get to this notion of like, oh, it's up for me to tell them that they need to stop doing these things. No. It's up to you to embrace them with love, to show them the introductory passion that God has for them, to say, hey, let me introduce you to my Father in heaven who loves you. That on the day that he met Zacchaeus on the road, he didn't look at Zacchaeus and say, Zacchaeus, you're a sinner. You're the worst person on the planet. No, what Zacchaeus encountered was Jesus' love, and in encountering that love, what took place was that Zacchaeus transformed everything in his life. And he said, today, I'm doing this. I'm going to make things right. I'm not doing this anymore. And Jesus looks at him and says, your house is saved. You're going to heaven. When you encounter that presence of God, it overwhelms you to a degree where you don't want to be in any way, shape, or form associated with drama, associated with evil, deceit, jealousy. You just go, not me. I don't carry that stuff. I'm not around all that. I don't want to be a part of it. Too often, we're too quick in your drama. Take a step back, pause. Just like Jehoshaphat, they begin to start walking. He stops and he pauses and he says, hey, what does God's word say? What are we going to do? God said he's going to take care of us. Did everyone believe it? Yes. All right, now let's start praising him. It may be awkward for you. It may be odd for you to do this. But again, let's talk about the virgin birth. Let's talk about building a giant boat. Let's talk about walking on water. Let's talk about all of these miraculous things that takes place all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And you're nervous to start worshiping God at your workplace. That at your desk, you can just give a shout, God, I give you glory. Lord, I lift up my praise to heaven right now for glory. Lord, for your glory to shine in this place, for your name to be made known. And Lord, that all of these walls will crumble. Lord, all of this deceit will stop. Lord, that you will be victorious in this place. Your name will be heard, will be made known right now in Jesus' name. You got to know it. Do you know it? My last story. It's one of my favorite stories. I was a bank loan officer. Every year they made me do these new financials. I had to get new financials for all my clients. There was this lawyer in town. He was super rich. And so he's also kind of like this upper echelon. He met with his, he was a lawyer for famous athletes and different things. And so he was hard to get to. And so I was at a bank meeting and they said, Josh, why haven't you got his financials? And I said, he won't return my phone calls. I said, he won't return my phone calls. Have you gone down to his office? I said, I actually have. I've gone down to his office. I met with his secretary. I said, I've left countless emails and countless whatever, voicemails. And they said, let me see if I can make a phone call. So someone else made a phone call. So one day, probably about a week later, in comes this lawyer, never seen him before. Kind of had an idea of what he looked like based upon a photo from the internet. I didn't know what he looked like. He comes up to my desk and he says, are you Josh? I go, yeah, I'm Josh. He said, do you have a post-it note? I said, yes. And I handed him a post-it note. He said, you got a pen? I got a pen. Gave him a pen, a post-it note. And he wrote on there and he said, I am rich. And then wrote his name and handed it to me. He said, put that in my file. And he walked out. I dream of that day in my life. I think all of us do, right? In that very moment, I promise you, in that very moment, sitting at my desk, I started laughing. I just laid it in front of me. I sat there for a long time just looking at this post-it note, laughing. Like, this is going to be the greatest story of all time. I can't wait to go to this new financial meeting where I can tell you that such and such lawyer came in and said, I am rich. Like, this is great. I just remember looking at it, but I do remember this. I remember thinking, he knows he's rich. He knows it. Man, to know that you have power like this. Now this is, I'm talking about natural. This is natural stuff. Was he wrong? Yes, we all know that. Okay, that's a given. But in translation of the supernatural, that in the spirit realm that I live in, I am a Christian. God tells me that I am a son of the Lord Most High. You are a daughter of the Lord Most High. He tells us that we are kings. He tells us that we are victorious. If you need a reminder in a moment of drama and you're sitting at your workplace, take out a post-it note and write, I am a son, a daughter of the Lord Most High. Write another post-it note. I am rich. You are so rich in spiritual blessings. You are so rich in communication with your Father. You are so rich in who you're supposed to be. Just begin to write those things down. Place it before you. Habakkuk 2. This is who I am. I rejoice that I am a living temple where the Holy Spirit can dwell inside of me, where I have victorious, I have victory, I have strength, I have wisdom to encounter any obstacle. That nothing that's laid before me will hinder me in what God has in store for me. That I am a king. That I don't bow to this kingdom, but I bow to his kingdom. That I live and dwell in his kingdom. And I operate with a mentality from that kingdom. That I know, that I know, that I know. And I rejoice in that. Hallelujah. Some of us, we need to let go. So I'm going to ask everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I want us to let go this morning. Let go of the drama. Turn it down. Turn down the drama. I want to ask the question, are you ready to let it go? Right now, right where you are, I want to teach you something. Yeah, I love the altar. I love coming up to the altar. I love for people to come up, just lay it down. I mean, there's some significance to it. But as I just told you right now, you need to believe it, that you are a living stone in the temple of God, a spiritual living stone. So right now, where you are seated right now, I want you to begin to speak to your walls, to your obstacles, to your drama. I want you to begin to know who you are in Christ Jesus. I want you to lay it all down at his feet. You need to let go of some of the things you're holding on to. They're just bringing in more drama. Let it go. Right where you're seated right now, say, God, you can have it. Lord, we thank you. God, we rejoice in your presence. God, I thank you right now, Lord, that I will not follow in the path of the wicked. But Lord, I stand firm on a foundation, on a cornerstone of Jesus Christ. Lord, where your name is made known, Lord, that I walk in your decrees and I will not forget your word that's been placed upon me. God, I thank you right now, Lord, you are worthy to be honored, worthy to be praised. Some of you are carrying some heavy burdens right now. Let it go. Say these words. Say, God, take it from me. Take it from me. God, anything I'm holding on to, God, I let it go. I let it go. In your presence, God, that's where I want to be. In your presence, God, is where I am set free. In your presence, God, your name is made known. And I, God, am so thankful that you welcome me in. Lord, as a child of God, that you look upon me with passion and with love and with grace and mercy. And I know it. I am so rich. I am so rich. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you. Forgive us. Lord, we repent. We lay things at your feet. We receive you as our Lord and personal Savior. God, we begin. Lord, we begin this journey in Christ Jesus. Lord, with a full assurance of knowing that you are for us. Who could be against us? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you need anything today, we have this wonderful prayer room. My left, your right, back here, these two double doors. They'll be open. We'll have some wonderful people back there. I'd encourage you, if you need anything, go in that room. I believe, Pastor Dave, you're closing up. Everyone, stay seated. Hang out for a bit.
Praise God. So as most of you know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, and our pastors, Pastor Josh and Anna, were out of town last week ministering at a sister church, so we wanted to wait till this week when they were here to honor them. So I'm going to go ahead and ask you guys to come up, and I'm going to go ahead and put this out there for everyone right now. My goal is to not cry, so you're all going to help me, okay? So if it starts to seem like, man, he's this close, just make some weird faces, okay? Listen to what I'm saying because it's important, but make some weird faces. It'll really help. So anyway, yeah, like that. That's going to help. So every year when we do this, you know, it's amazing how God brings something to me that's different about you guys and the example that you show for us. And this year, this whole time we've been talking about this with the church, the thing that has stuck out to me, and it's awesome that this message kind of fits right in with this, because the thing that has stuck out to me is the example that our pastors give in perseverance. You know, they talk to us all the time about how to press through and press on, and that's not from a place of ignorance. You know, it's not. He shared today, like, the tiniest little bit of some of the things that they've gone through. I've been there with them through a lot of this stuff, and they don't speak about pressing on and pressing into God out of a place of not knowing hardship, okay? And I know that a lot of you have faced hardship, too, so you identify with that. And the thing that has spoken to me in all these years, in all of the things that I've gone through in my own life, is that I can say, okay, I know what to do now. And I'm going to read a scripture because that'll help me take. I'm going to not cry. I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now. All right. Hebrews 10:39, it says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." It's a it's a simple message. It's a simple thought. You know, you read that and you brush past and you're like, yeah, that's me. I'm good with that. And then something happens and you're like, wait, is that me? Is that what I'm doing right now? And to know that we have people who have led us in that path, have gone before us, and we all are facing different things. It's all different, but we know that God is there. In that circumstance, he's there. He's leading us through, and we can press on. And that's what I love about you guys.
Thank you guys for your kindness and appreciation. We really do appreciate it. And as Pastor Dave points out, we really want to see the best in all of us. And that's really our goal as a pastor. And so thank you so much for calling this home, for calling this your church, and believing in the vision that God's placed at this church to see it come to pass, to reach people from the mountains to the sea and to help people find a better way. That's what it's all about. And so we're so thankful for each one of you guys and just the blessings and the gifts and everything. That's wonderful. But really, it's just seeing your faces and knowing that you're a part of this vision. That means the world to us, that you're willing to see that Jesus Christ is made known in Alamance County in North Carolina. That's what this is about. And so we're just so thankful that you're here and that we're plowing this soil. It needs to be plowed. This area needs to know Jesus in a greater measure and needs to be set free from the bondage and the weight of sin and to see the manifestations of God's glory. That's what it's all about. So we're so thankful.
We love you all. We love our church family. There is nothing greater than the body of Christ. There's nothing greater than the church of Jesus Christ. Nothing greater. We are part of an unshakable kingdom, and our greatest joy as pastors is whenever we see you come in and press in and get hungry for the Word of God, to get thirsty for the Spirit of God, of what God has for your life, to see your marriage restored, to see your children come to know Jesus, to see you healed, set free, made whole. We're so thankful that Jesus is our shepherd and that he has called us to be under shepherds to point you to Jesus. It's our greatest joy. It's our greatest joy that we are a testimony of Jesus Christ and that you're a part of that vision, that each of you, one of his most favorite things in the church is whenever people find out who they are in Christ and begin to volunteer, begin to know their design from the Lord of what God wants to use them in. And then they press in and they do it. You love it. He loves whenever he sees people that are just joyful out there greeting and serving and ushering. It makes them just so happy because this is what we're called to do, to come in here and to be a part of your life. This past weekend, Josh was at a men's conference and I was with my lovely friend, my best friend. Her father had passed away. And I drove to West Virginia for the funeral. And they had the funeral at the church. And her mom looked at me and she goes, I don't know what I would do without my church family. And you guys, that's why we're doing this thing. Because we're hooking arms. And I said, aren't you thankful that we don't have to know what it's like without a church family? And for each of you in this house, your family, hook arms with someone today. Press in. Be a part of what God is doing in his church. Hug someone. Love someone. Volunteer in Kids Church, teach a child about Jesus. Press in with our youth group. Get excited for Switchback Youth. Come to a small group. Come to every service you can. Jump in. I wrote down in my notes from your message, I said, I'm in with both feet. I'm in with both feet. And I'm planted firm. Are y'all with me? Yeah? Anyone in with both feet? Y'all ever get tired of being sick and tired? Yeah? Let's jump in with both feet. Amen. And let's just get excited about what God is doing in his church today. We love you guys.